Welcome, everyone. We are back for another One Great Work Warrior roundtable discussion. And this episode's topic is a good one. It is hopium. And this is going to be a great discussion. I'm looking forward to hearing what all the warriors got to say. And I'm also looking forward to, I think the chat should be full with this discussion, because I think we've all had experience with hopium and are seeing it before our very eyes. And this topic was brought to the surface from Jim. So I'm going to start and pass it over to you, Jim, because this was the thing that you wanted to discuss, and it's a good one. Hopium. Let's get into this one.
Thanks, Rick. Yeah, hopium. I don't remember why, like, I guess at the time, a month or so, a few weeks back, it was really, I was stuck on it, getting frustrated with it, but yeah, well, hopium is like, if anyone doesn't know, I've heard that term. It's like, you know, it's like being addicted to hope. Like when you combine opium and hope, it's like, and we talk about that a lot, where people don't take action. And so many people just hope things are going to get better. And there's a lot of things out there, a lot of tricks being played on people to, you know, just do nothing and hope that the saviors are coming, right? So when I think about hope, I remember back into when Barack Obama was running for president, and that was a big part of his campaign, his slogan, what is that, propaganda and all that. And, you know, it was just hope. But I, for me, I always talk about permaculture, and it's been a big part of my life. And if I look at that from like where I started with it back in like 2013 or so, I was like looking at that as hope, like back in, you know, in those days, over 10 years ago, I was still in that, hopium, thinking like this can change the world. Like the permaculture gives us hope. So you could Google permaculture. Permaculture gives us hope, and there's a whole bunch of stuff on there. You know, permaculture is gonna with, you know, it gives us hope for a brand new way of living and Earth. And a lot of people get stuck on that, and I was for a long time. You know, not realizing that it's more the, we got to focus on the consciousness and the root cause of the problem. So that's a big one, and I see that still to this day. People like pointing to permaculture is going to save us. Another quick story. I like that guy, John Trudell, and he brought up the story of Pandora's box. And I think most people know that story, and how when she's told not to open up the box. And, you know, it's like similar to Adam and Eve, where it's like in case it's like making the woman the villain, right? And destroying, making the world an evil place for all of humanity, but that's another story. But she opens the box and all the evils come out. And he tells a story. I think he gets it wrong, because he says hope comes out at the end. Hope comes out. And I think in the story, she shuts the box and hope, there's still hope inside the box. But either way you look at it, hope was in the box of evil. And, you know, so depends on how you look at the story, but a lot of people want to say like hope is good, but if you really think about it, according to Pandora's box, you know, that old story, hope is in the box of evil. So hope is evil because it creates people to be inactive. You know, if you're just sitting around hoping, you're not doing anything. All right, and I'm sure you guys are going to get into so many other things, like when it comes to what you vote, and you hope that the presidents or the political leaders are going to fix things, or QAnon's a big one, trust the plan, and you got the channelers and all that. Like, people listen to all that new age stuff, and like the blue avians and like aliens are coming and they're gonna fix it. And then, of course, I'll leave it with this, the one that I've heard my whole entire life, the second coming of Christ, right? Like, so everyone's just living with that hope that these saviors are gonna fix everything, instead of taking responsibility for themselves. So that's why hope. That's what we're trying to get at. We're saying hope, being addicted to that hope, it's like evil, because you ain't doing shit to fix the problem. So I'll pass it over to Derek.
Wait, hold on. This is the first, because you're covering part of what I was going to say. So I'm going to take the
Oh,
reins,
sure.
and it's only fitting because I was going to talk about some of those same things, and that way people can kind of follow, and then and there's no disconnect. So I'm going to take the reins, hell, on this one, because I want to bring more clarity to some of the things, hell, you just said. And sadly, because people can't focus, if there was someone to talk, like in between, and they'll be done forgot, what you said. So to kind of piggyback on what you were saying, because you brought up Pandora's box, let's first distinguish that hope and hopium are not the same thing. And not one of the two are good or evil. So let's define what hope is. Hope is to have trust, desire, or confidence, or, to wish. Hope is just like a natural, like human quality. It's not, good or bad. It can be used as a means of, of inspiration, and to, to challenge yourself to want to do better. And when you have hopium, then, hell, like Jim said, you have hope and opium. Well, opium is an addictive, narcotic, that comes from the poppy plant. You extract the hell poppy juice. And if you want to look at what opium has done, then go and look at what the East India Company, and what that did at that time when opium was being spread, and being used and sold. Of course, you had like the royal family, and like and the Queen of England, and all them stuff, who was important, all the opium in, and it just devastated, areas like China, and certain parts of Asia. But when you combine those two, like Jim said, is if you ever seen that episode of South Park where I think the people go to California, and then and they're in like the rich area, and then people get high off their own farts. That's kind of like what hopium is. It's like people get high off their own bullshit, and like they get stuck in their own belief bubble, that it's almost like an hell addiction, and they don't want to get out of it. And anything that's outside of that bubble, they feel as though, well, they don't have to worry about it, or they don't have to do anything, because that hopium is their drug of security. That hopium is that drug of safety. That hopium is that blanket of comfort that they can pull over their eyes and cover their ears and cover their mouth, to where, like Jim said, they don't have to do anything. So hopium is the attachments to unrealistic expectations, beliefs, or wishful thinking, leading to a false sense of hope. And that's why I say hopium and hope are not the same thing, because hopium is the false sense of hope. And at the root of hopium is really nothing more but fear. So Jim brought up Pandora's box, which there's actually a history and a backstory, which you, in order to understand Pandora's box, you have to understand the story of Prometheus. Because what Prometheus did in the myth is he stole the fire from the gods. And I'm always talking about, how man is missing that fire, but he supposedly stole the fire from Zeus. And Prometheus knew that Zeus was a very vengeful god. I mean, Jesus, Zeus was a very vengeful god, and he knew that, he was going to want payback. And he told his brother Epimetheus, "Don't accept anything from the gods. You know, don't accept anything from Zeus. So once Zeus found out that the fire had been stolen, then of course he wanted, you know, he wanted to punish the humans. He wanted to punish, you know, Prometheus. He wanted revenge. So he sent Pandora to his brother, Epimetheus. And of course, you know, sadly, people don't listen. And he accepted this gift. And Pandora had a box. And in some stories, it's an actual jar, which I find symbolic because a jar is almost synchronistic or, you know, like almost the same thing as a chalice. So she has a box. She has a jar that contains all of the evils inside of it. And of course, Pandora, she represents the feminine essence because she was the first woman supposedly created by Zeus. So she has that curiosity too, you know, because that is a feminine essence. So that curiosity is what leads to the opening of the jar. And like Jim said, all the evils come out and then they go to close that jar. They go to close that box and what's left, you have hope. So what I would say, sort of like what Jim was pointing at, is hope itself may have been the most evil thing because hope is the false hope is what leads to hopium. And when you have that hopium, it does get you to stand down. It does get you to be passive. It does turn you into a little bitch. It does get you to do nothing. It does get you to be a coward. It does get you to, you know, not take right action. It does create, you know, laziness. It does create, you know, cowardice. So, you know, in that mindset, you don't want to do what's morally right, you know. And even if there's a crisis put in front of you, if you're in that state of hopium, you just think you're good, you know, because you'll be saved, you know, you'll be rescued by whatever form of hopium or, you know, whatever belief or wishful thinking you have attached to. So hope itself is not good or bad, but hopium is the problem because it kind of leads also into blind hope, you know, where you just start, you know, blindly hoping in things and you haven't put any substance or research, you know, behind it. Then that right there is a problem. And just like Jim said, you know, in this so-called, freedom, you know, false movement, you know, you had things like QAnon, you know, where people was putting hope, you know, like into that. Well, where did that get us? More statism, more slavery. You had the white hats in government, you know, that was going to come and save the day. Well, where's the evidence of that? You know, what politicians have been put in jail, you know, what happened to all of, you know, Jeffrey Epstein's friends. I thought they was all going to go to jail. And then you also had, you know, the whole alien disclosure. How are we going to get disclosure? And we have immoral people who are over all of the information. Immoral people aren't going to release the truth. More people are going to release the truth. Then, of course, you have the religious saviors, you know, which that has been one of the main, generators of false hope and hopium, for ages. Then you have the extraterrestrial saviors, like the Blue Pleiadians, you know, the Ashtar Command or whatever, you know, fleet. Is coming to save humanity from itself, which ain't gonna never happen. Then you have the technological saviors, you know, like a lot of people think AI is going to save humanity. Why? I have no idea. But, you know, like I said, hopium gets you doped up on your own bullshit, creating the passive, unaggressive little bitch. Because that's really what it does. It turns you into a little punk bitch who will literally do nothing when there is evil in front of you, when there is moral atrocities in front of you, because you will stand down because you're good. And you don't want to get your hands dirty. You know, you don't want to get your feet wet because, again, that means you will have to be pulled out of that comfort zone and step into the realm of being a true fighter, a true lover of doing the right thing. So opium is a drug for cowards. It is the drug for cowards, because it's really nothing more than fear at the end of the day. Because if you're not willing to step in that means of the unknown, you know, if you're not willing to step in that means of change, then you're still in fear. And like I said, fear is the main driver of opium. And you just want that safety comfort blanket to pull over your eyes and say everything's going to be safe. So, all right. Hell, Derek, you can take the reins.
And I'm going to yank the blanket from Linus, right? As we spoke about in Chris Nelson's last segment, which correlates so much. And I kind of gave a shout out to y'all as I'm about to slap a mosquito if need be. But the last one it was titled like Stop Dreaming, Stop Lying to Yourself, you know, tailing off of that. And that's what people need to do and all that stuff. I'm going to get back into that towards the solution and end of things. But in regards to the end of all evil and all that stuff, and Jim and Brandon, you guys mentioned that up in context. And hope, it's such a four-letter word, right? Just how things can be perverted, kind of like love and all these things. But evil, I'm counting four letters as well. And how to flip the script on the inversion of that to bring more life into this evil devilry that we're, you know, up against it in the Matrix, right? Evil, live, right? The inverse of that word. So we have to uphold, you know, as Brandon says, you know, like, they're just words, right? And, you know, some of the tools that we use are just that, and they could be used for good or bad, right? So we need to use them properly, have the right, you know, understanding, grammar, application, articulation to these things, yeah? Whew. Inhale that good shit, huh? Not that doped up opium, hopium type of stuff. That can be quite innocuous, contagious, euphoric, with the downsides of, you know, passivity and just being kind of stagnant and kind of just sidelining or thinking, you know, like, as y'all brought up, but, you know, with the savior programming, seeing those, the saviors come in many flavors, right? And y'all mentioned the things, you know, the Dalians, the damn aliens, and the Galactic Federation of False Fucking Light and whatever the fuck. And, the QAnon, what it really doing on, and whatever kind of political spectrum of any nation. I know things get spoken about a little bit, you know, Americentrically, obviously, because it's quite the geopolitical powerhouse around the whole world, right? But there's also just the infotainment aspects and people thinking that they got that instant gratification. They know things, and all of a sudden, because they know stuff and like, oh, they're pointing the finger at the bad guy, that's going to like automatically solve things when they haven't solved the issues within themselves. They haven't dealt with the biggest enemy that they're going to face in their lives, which is inside. And doing that shadow work and the inner work and all that stuff that's going to be propelling you to be, you know, having that phoenix rising to be the master builder of your life. Damn, these blood-sucking guys are sorry. Like, we're in the heat of the summertime, so it's kind of like that. Sorry. The New Age grifters. How many influencers are there right now where, you know, hey guys, just do this. And oh yeah, by the way, this video is sponsored by Who Gives a Motherfuck and all this shit, right? And all the religion since, you know, over 2000 years ago, we're still waiting for Jesus to come back, right? But, you know, in the meantime, no one tried to resurrect the Christ consciousness within themselves to, you know, manifest that in the world, in their immediate surroundings, that kind of stuff. I'm sure people have in certain areas, but it's just, you know, obviously all the Armageddon software and the scripture programming runs millennials deep. Yet what runs even deeper is all these Palladians and other, you know, New Age notions of, you know, all these factions are, you know, helping us and just channel more of these, you know, ascended master archangel motherfuckers. When they've had, you know, more than 2,000 years to come and save our asses, and they're helping out the Loosh Factory. So, way to go, don't invest your fucking time and energy and loosh into that. Cut the parasite off. All right. Cut off your prescription of any kind of hopium that you might be involved in and all these things, right? So these hopium suppliers, right? They could be in the form of sirens, jesters, or friars, like way back in the days, yeah? You know, the village idiots even, like. And obviously in the lamestream media, we got the talking heads, some of the pundits, and especially the people's champions, right? All the celebrities and all this stuff did a great show with Cynthia Mitchell as far as, you know, celebrity worship, you know. But, you know, this is a little bit of a different side of how we always talk about, I wouldn't say always, but, you know, a lot of times in the conspiratorial realm of things, we talk about how, and it's totally true, that they pump a fuck ton of fear, you know, 24/7 in so many different ways. Yet on the flip, they're pumping a lot of hopium as well to kind of counterbalance that. And you could kind of take it to how things are so Hegelian, right? With the problem, reaction, solution, you know, they're going to fear monger you into all this stuff of that what's going bad, whether it be real, a false flag or whatever, psyop ish, whatever. And then, you know, have, you know, hey, you know, we made the people react the way they did, yeah. But they're, oh, we got the solution. So everyone's like, they're already like, they got hit one way and they get, you know, slapped another way. You know, like hit in a negative fear sense and then like trying to slap you up with, you know, like some fake ass blissed out stuff, which is a lot of new age bullshit does as well, right? Oh, you're feeling blissed out because you channeled some 4 or 5D type of stuff. They might have done that, but you're still kind of might get compromised and getting looshed out on the side. And you might want to think about that. Anyway, so I'm trying to rifle through some of these things because I know we're going to be tailing off on a lot of stuff, you know, because obviously Jim and Brandon, you guys mentioned that. So yeah, just people have to be mindful. I've had to be mindful myself. You know, I speak about these things with conviction because I was a victim of them being passive as fuck, you know, thinking like, you know, I wasn't all sold on the 5D thing because I know there's more higher dimensions than that. And it doesn't even matter because what matters is right here in the 3D because this is a very high spiritual dimension where we can master so much and evolve our souls and help this planet, you know, heal and evolve as well. And that's affirmation. That's not fucking, you know, pumping, you know, any kind of hopefulness and stuff, because, you know, I feel into these things and, you know, quite deeply and stuff, and there's more to it than it's not just like the feels, but anyways, so I like, you know, I'm having issues and I want you guys to find ways for me to, you know, correct my speech. Cause, you know, it's like, you know, like we always, you know, have these greetings and or goodbyes, whatever. Like, oh, I hope you have a good weekend. You know, I hope you're doing well. Hey, I haven't seen you in a while. Like, I hope everything's all right. You know, this and that, like that's all in good faith. And as Brandon broke it down, you know, it's like, you can replace, you know, I hope you're doing well with, you know, I trust you're doing well in a sense, you know? So if we can kind of tinker around a little bit with our grammar, you know, it could have more of that affirmative positive effect in a sense, and it doesn't sound so wishy-washy, you know, and hopey-dopey, if you will. But not, I've never like took it wrong when people say like, hey Derek, I hope you're doing all right, and this and that. It's like, yeah man, thanks, I appreciate you even thinking about me like that, you know. So yeah, I hope you're doing all right too, but like what it really do. So Jerry, como estas, and how do they work that lingo over there, you know? Because over here, mon frère, we say j'espère, you know, I hope you're doing well, and it's kind of like the same usage in French, but there's other ways to say like, oh, good luck, or like, ah, I hope you're doing, or like, have a good day, I hope you have a good day. You can say, ah, bon courage, just like good courage, you know, just like send that out there. It's like good energy towards you. And like, you got this, you know, type of thing. But anyways, ¿qué onda, wey?
Yeah, it's a good question. So hope in Spanish is esperanza. Now, I'm not too sure how to go into that, but yeah, just one thing I thought of was you can tell someone, espero que estés bien. And that word means await. So I just wanted to bring that to the table. And yeah, I'll have to dive into that more, but yeah, so I think a lot of us has said to ourselves, it's all going to be okay, and we don't take any action. And yeah, hopium is sort of like copium, and yeah, here's a good quote by Vince Lombardi, which I think is fitting. It's hope is not a strategy. So if you want to be successful, you want to have a strategy in place and just basically just having no strategy is wishy-washy. It's not going to get us to the goal line, basically. And yeah, hopium feeds on your comfort and avoidance. So I think it's just a cycle with your subconscious. You're going to be comfortable and it keeps repeating itself, sort of like a habit. And you're going to avoid doing the hard work because you're hoping that everything's going to be okay. It reminded me of somewhat like a prophecy. Oh yeah, this will happen. Like the future's already predicted. It's like, dude, the future is what we do now is dictates the future. So I don't know, just be alarmed about that. So yeah, hopium tells you they're going to save us. I mean, you guys already touched on that. Or, yeah, it's not that bad, right? I think it's kind of like with the copium. It's like, oh, yeah, we're just dealing with it. We're going to accept the consequences and not lift a finger. So, yeah, it's basically, it's a drug and it disables our responsibility. And that basically it kills urgency. So it's like, oh, why do I have to do this, especially now? Oh, I mean, everything's fine. There's plenty of time to do what's right. But however, time is ticking. You never know what could happen. Freaking exterminate us all. But yeah, I mean, the waiting is, I don't know, they're just waiting for that savior, I suppose, and that's basically terrible. So, I just want to point out, also, people think, oh yeah, Bitcoin's the solution, and it's not. It's understanding objective morality under natural law. So I'll be going into solutions the next time I go. And yeah, I think I'll leave it there. So what's up, Rick?
I'm actually just enjoying listening to you guys as usual, because I learned so much by these discussions, and I find myself looking forward to them, and this was no different. I like this topic. I thought about it, and I think we've all thought about hopium a lot. And you guys, a lot of the stuff I was going to talk about, you guys kind of already touched on, but I guess I can kind of build upon it in my unique way. I think we see a lot of hopium, at least I do, when I speak to a lot of people, and the more you talk to people, you start to see the different things that they hope that they're really high on this hopium. And for me, a lot of them are already brought up, but religion is a big one. I've talked to a lot of religious people, and they are determined to make me believe that eventually, you know, Jesus, whoever it is going to come down and fix the problem. And we just have to kind of wait, and it's going to take care, you know, this is what's going to happen. And so I get into some pretty good discussions about that. And then I also, on the flip side, I'll talk to somebody who's maybe, and I've interviewed a lot of people that are really big in the UFOs and the alien thing, and this was kind of already touched on, but then they have the hopium that eventually they're going to make themselves known. Some say they already have, and they're going to come down. They're going to fix all the things that we've messed up over time. They're going to fix it. And basically that's what they're waiting for. And so hope. And then a lot of the stuff that we talk about government, I talked to a lot of people that came and imagine a world without a government, and they hope that eventually, if they just keep voting and they keep getting the right people in, it's going to work. It's going to all fix itself, and we're going to get the right people in there, and they're going to take care of all the things that have been messed up previously. And and Jim said it at the very, because he opened this up, and he said that it leads to inaction. And that is what I think a lot of this stuff, that's the danger of this hopium stuff, is that it puts you in a stand down inactive state, because you're just waiting for somebody else to fix the problem. And yes, I got some notes here, but I'm just going to spitball because I don't usually focus on notes. So yeah, anyways, I'm going to build off of, but that's what it leads us into this stand down mode where inaction is happening. And to me, that's so dangerous because we're seeing the consequences of people not taking action. And I keep telling people that this is humanity's mess. We made this mess. We're going to have to clean it up. I truly believe that. And how are you going to do that? You have to get the proper information. You have to be care enough. You have to be willing to seek it out and take it in and work with it. And then eventually the action part, take it back, you know, do what we're doing, or find another way to go out and get that information out to people. But I keep telling people, this is not going to just fix itself. There's not just going to be this magic wand that comes over and everything gets fixed. And hope is something that I go back and forth, and I find myself saying this so much. I'm like this drastic pendulum swing at times. Sometimes I think that we're going to pull ourselves out of this, and I have hope, and I guess I'm high on hopium. And then other times the pendulum will go the other way, and then I'm like, I just look at society and humanity and how people are, and I'm just like, I don't think we can fix this. This is my thing that I go with constantly. It's this pendulum swing that I'm dealing with internally, and trying to figure out, because I know the answers, and I think we were kind of touching on them. And I'm going to say something that I thought about. I wasn't even sure I was going to bring this up, but I'm going to. When I think of the one great work, I sat and thought, are we high on hopium? The work we're doing. Because what are we doing? are we high on the hopium? Because we are thinking that people are willing or even care enough to seek out the information that we speak about. And once again, take in that information, do the hard work, and then start speaking about it. And care enough to go and do the next step, which we've been talking about, is the action step. Now, what did help me when I was thinking about this, and I put a lot of thought in this when it comes to the one great work, because we're asking a lot of people. And what helped me with that was that, you know, I know many people that are doing the work, and that they are, they're taking the action. They're out there seeking the information. They're working on themselves. They're educating themselves. And then they're, in their unique way, they're putting that information out there. And that's the action part. So that kind of gave me, you know, I kind of thought, like, as I was thinking about what I just brought up, I was like, okay, that does give me, gave me some comfort to know that there is people out there doing the great work. But that was just something I wasn't even sure I was going to bring up, but I have to be honest. Sometimes I even wondered, like, what I just said. And I just, I'll wrap up with saying, I hear a lot of people, and this is something that drives me crazy, and I hear people say that good always wins, and that drives me crazy, because I, once again, I think that's hopium, because I truly believe evil can win, and is winning, because we don't have enough people who care enough to seek about the information out and do the work, especially on themselves, and then go to the next step of taking action. And I just try to tell people, like, yes, evil can win, is winning, and it's going to, this is once again our mess that we have to clean up, and it's just going to take hard work, and people have to start realizing that this is hard work. It's going to take care, and it's going to take action. And that's the part I think people don't like is to hear is that, you know, they have to work on themselves. I think, once again, as I just said, and all of us have, is that people are pointing the fingers outwardly, trying to blame everything else, looking for someone else to fix their problems. This is our mess. And I'll end it with that. And I hope I did a good job. Sorry, guys.
Don't be sorry.
I just thought about this so much. And
your work, yeah, I appreciate it, Rick.
Yeah, and I'll pass it to you, Chris.
You know what you're saying about the great work, and is, are we lost in hopium? I like appreciate the humility of that question, but I think a good way to put perspective on that is to ask: is, are we doing something particularly for comfort, or for our personal self, or not? Because when I think about the efforts I go to do this type of work, it's certainly not for my own comfort. Mm-hmm. And if I were seeking that direction, it would be easier to not do a lot of the things we're doing. And I think that's a good way to ask that question. And, you know, what Jerry, you were talking about, you know, it's not a strategy to just hope. And I think that's a good way to describe that fine line between, as Brandon said, hope's not necessarily a bad thing. When it becomes a bad thing, is when we're using it like a lifeline, like a drug, and a habit strategy, like you were saying, which is also a self-fulfilling prophecy term that's used that I thought of when you were talking, Jerry. And Derek, you also talked about a pendulum, and that made me think of something I wanted to comment about. The Masonic tracing board, lower consciousness being the black and white squares, the unwillingness to ascend to the higher level of thinking, to recognize that I'm not the only person in the world. I don't create reality, you know, and ultimately, the one other thing I wanted to comment on was, Brandon, you were talking about the shape of the jar, and it occurred to me that could also be a womb, and being born into this life is this possibility of all these evils to happen, for us to experience all these evils that could happen potentially. And so coming out of that cup, out of that womb, into this life is our opportunity to discern here in this situation. So I was going to just start with a little allegory. I had this dream quite a few years ago, and it's really stuck with me. It's kind of like a scary dream, like a horror dream, but it was like a funhouse. It was like I'm coming up these stairs, and every step in front of me is like a block, and they're all different colors, and they're shifting around. And you don't know if there's going to be something to stand on, or it's going to disappear and be a hole in the ground. And it's like no two colors are the same. And so it's a scary freaking fun house, you know, not the one you want to bring your kid in. And it's often occurred to me that if we live in this world with illusions in our mind about reality, it's like that fun house. You never know what the hell color the next step going to be, or there's even going to be a block in front of you to step on. It's all changing at every moment, like that crazy dream I had. And that symbolizes the relativistic view people have of the world when we try to pretend that there's no such thing as being objective, that we don't have the ability to be objective. Obviously, we are living in a subjective experience. We're perceiving things through our senses. And so people think, well, I'm subjective. Everything I experience is subjective. Yeah, that's true. But this is like back to that Masonic, going to higher consciousness, recognizing the two pillars and the ladder of consciousness is recognizing that, you know, we all go through that phase in our childhood where we think, oh, when I scream, mom brings me milk, or when I scream, I can get what I want. maybe I control everything. Maybe I'm the only one that's real and everything else around me is all my dream. You know, and that's basically the essence of solipsism. And everyone goes through it in that developmental phase. But then you realize, oh, other people have feelings. Other people have perceptions. And we can corroborate and communicate on reality. And they're having a different mind than me. Therefore, I'm not the controller of the entire universe. And that's like a very like early stage on those rungs of the ladder to realize, oh, I'm not the, I don't control reality. You know, so this is that funhouse that so much people are living in where they actually think that they can control reality and they can define the rules of reality, or someone else can for that matter. And that's why, you know, reality is, there's this disconnection, and this disconnection from reality is the hopium. It becomes, you need this drug because you're so disconnected from reality. You need a drug to feel comfortable, to feel safe, and hopium fills that void. But really, like, that type of hopium is reserved in the body for like extreme circumstances, when a bomb hits and you're bleeding out, and then your body and mind will give you fantastical illusions and feelings of comfort so you can survive the night, you know, till you don't bleed out. And so there is a place for fantastical kind of, the body has that function for extreme situations, you know. But if we use it for day-to-day life, just to fill in the void of this funhouse that we don't actually think anything is real, and other people can control reality and make up laws and author reality in front of us at any moment, then we have to be taking this crazy drug to deal with this insane situation. And that's exactly what we got going on. And it's now it's highlighted with devices and media that create synthetic realities within realities, nested realities, which is a, kind of what I call the tesseract in the book I'm writing and some of my work. So the answer, the goal we need to work towards is human connection, recognizing that all of our lives are relationships, and that shared experience and empathy is what forms connection, so we can communicate with people and step out of that false reality where we have to be living on this hopium shit. Because when we're living in reality, we know that our friend right here can help us with something, and we can help them with something, and we can get, he can give me some eggs, I can teach him some knife fighting skills, and, you know, we can trade and barter and we can survive, you know. But we need each other and the ability to commune with our community to make that happen. And the state system and the authoritarian system, they're going to do everything to prevent that, keep you in that scattered funhouse state of mind. And so thanks, Jim, for bringing up this topic. I've had a lot of fun thinking about it and preparing for this talk. So I'll hand it back to Jim.
Thanks, Chris. Yeah, I've been so busy that I feel bad that I haven't spent enough time focusing on this. But, you know, there's plenty to talk about. I know for myself, I mentioned earlier about the channelers and the, I'll listen to those guys. I'll listen to Bashar and Cryon just to see what they're saying. And, you know, a lot of times they have a positive message and they get like millions of views. And, you know, if you listen to Bashar, he's saying like they're coming soon, like the aliens or whatever, and that they won't let, the aliens won't let like nuclear bombs go off and all that stuff. So that gives people hope that the aliens are going to, prevent like the World War III from happening. You know, I'm just kind of getting the gist of what they're saying. So I just imagine a lot of people are going by that, listening to those channelers and using that as hope that, you know, everything's going to be okay. And we, you know, like what Rick was saying, I don't think we are taking action. We know that, you know, we've come to understand that, you know, that if people can truly be honest about right and wrong, and that the more moral we become, the more free we will be. And we can solve these problems with these psychopaths, you know, ruling over us. We know this. And we're not just sitting here hoping that people are going to get morality, right? That they're going to, we know we can't do that. We really have to go out in the world and, or, you know, put content out there and try to get people to understand that there is truly a difference between right and wrong. Like, it's not subjective, that it doesn't change according to your opinion. And that's how these psychopaths get to stay where they are, right? And, like, we're in this, like, crazy, the world keeps getting crazier, but, you know, this at this present moment, I think a lot of people are scared. A lot of fear going on with World War III seems on the brink, right? Maybe people are starting to lose hope, but they're really pushing that fear, and it's all because they believe in those psychopaths, and we can't sit back hoping that they're going to stop believing in them, right? So that's where we come in. I hear what you're saying too, Rick, but I don't think we're high on hopium. I was thinking most people are hung over on hopium, right? It's like, it's really, that's what it is. When you're hung over, you can't do shit, right? Yeah, you're useless. So I'll pass it to Derek.
If you must, yeah, thanks. And yeah, to Rick's point, definitely appreciate you bringing that up. And, you know, I've had to check myself over the years as well before, you know, the network was even established, really. You know, wife abandoned me, and just realizing how far our paths kind of strayed and how lacking of a influence of, you know, what I've learned and integrated, you know, into myself that I thought, you know, brushed off and influenced her, and she's not really. So yeah, that was kind of a reality check for me. I kind of mentioned that in Chris Nelson's last episode, so I won't go over much again, but yeah, made me realize, like, wow, like all these years I was, you know, putting out all this cool, you know, truth infused musical tapestries and whatever, yet one of the closest people in my life didn't take heed to a lot of the messages and the things that I was getting way deeper into, just on a personal level type of stuff. And so, yeah, I kind of was like, all right, Derek, you got to stop dreaming now, kind of thing. Like, we might have to take a step back, you know, take a knee or whatever, and rethink things over. And what else can we do to really step our game up? Because, you know, even today, I don't feel like I'm at my best, you know, and I feel like this might not be a popular thing for me to say, but I'm not a big fan of, and it depends on the context sometimes, of course, but when people say, oh, you know, everyone's just doing their best and this and that, I'm sorry, but, you know, I'm not a negative Nancy. I try to see things objectively. I don't see people doing their best, even at, you know, said level of consciousness that they're at. Take, for example, you know, today, yesterday, for the past 2 fucking months working at this place, you know, I say one thing, goes in one ear, out the other. Is that doing their best? You know, like, there's certain protocols and things to be doing, and you keep fucking things up. You're doing the best you can. Thank you so much. You know, it really helps out the whole fucking team. You know what I mean? What the fuck? You know, so not to project all that stuff, but does that make sense? Like, I don't get it. Like, we're all conscious beings. You have 2 ears, 1 mouth. Use them accordingly. You know, like, shit. Take in twice as much as you're, you know, speaking forth, right? Because there's so much to learn and integrate and experience in this life before you fucking go out and lip service some whatever the fuck, And I'm talking about a lot of these YouTuber influencer motherfuckers making money off the shit who haven't been initiated into the occult or any of that shit. You got that natural law, by the way, motherfuckers? I don't think so. But anyways, you know, keep getting high off your own supply. Stop, you know, peddling out to other people. And maybe check yourself before you wreck yourself with that shit. Yeah, not to be all grandstandish, you know, sorry. Have you guys been doped up off that hopium, you know, in relationships, by the way? Because I have, you know, and yeah, there's that hangover too, right, Jilly? Reality checks and yeah, who's cashing in? But actually, who's healing from those traumas and, you know, really trying to come better to be their best version of themselves as much as possible, and just like keeping that as your mindful daily operation type of thing. It's like, it's so simple, yet it can be so hard because there's so many distractions and overlays and things that are pulling us any which way, right? So I get it, and it's been testing my patience so much, you guys, but here we are, and I'm just trying to do better and come correct and have you know, respect, you know, looking back again, my friend, and just whatever. So you know, this whole hopium thing and like the wishy-washy type of, you know, semi-affirmations and stuff, like, yeah, there's like this, you know, like we're casting spells, right, when we're speaking and all this stuff, and like the mental and the body language too, and just, yeah, how do we kind of flip the script on just being more, hey, like, we're doing this. We're not just, you know, hoping it into existence. We're actually manifesting it, you know? I think there's an energetic difference when you're kind of operating from that, like, extra intentional, you know, aspect in action as well. So, yeah, that's like a common thing. Like, things need to be brought forth in action. You know, we learned all these things, you know, some have, you know, gone through the trivium, you know, like the grammar and then the understanding of it. How much have you understood? How much have you interstood and overstood and all this stuff, like integrating it in so it's properly used in action in your behavior? That's the proper wisdom, right? So, yeah, we need to act upon these affirmations, not just lip service to them. And, you know, had a video titled like, you know, spiritual fashion statements, you know, kind of going over that stuff. I'm not going to bring it up right now because I'm about to pass the mic. But yeah, it really boils down to, you know, not living on the plane of effects, right? Being the cause point, you know, and understanding the causal factors of things, you know, like the hermetic principles, you know, causality, cause and effect. Featured Brandon Spencer in a really cool short reel, by the way. so yeah, with the great work launchpad that Chris Nelson has been putting out, stop lying to yourself, stop dreaming. Let's step into our empowered, you know, being. Being a human, but a human being in a human doing as well, I guess. There's a funny, oh my God, like, you remember that on The Simpsons? yeah, anyways. it was the best of times, it was the blurst of times, right? So, much love, y'all. There's a lot of shit going down in the world, right? We need to buckle up and hold down tight to what is in accordance to natural law, these eternal axioms of truth, moral principles, right? Because we might be tested more than ever before in this lifetime with whatever the fuck. And this is not fear mongering, but, you know, like, it's not just, you know, whatever the fuck happened over the past couple of days with, you know, Iran and whatever the fuck, but there's also AI and all these other things. So no doom and gloom and no like fantasizing that everything's just going to, you know, be okay because some kind of savior-esque type of thing is going to manifest just like that, right? as you know, we've been saying in our episodes and on the network, you know, a lot of people, it's like, it takes numbers to do this. So yeah, we just got to keep steady at it. And yeah, Rick, to your point, I think some people might think that they're doing or having more of an impact than what is actually happening, you know? And I've had to check myself as well. And it's not just about views, like the numbers, but how is the quality of the views? How's the feedback like and all these things? And you know, I'm looking at my video count and the view count, just things just don't add up right. But so I'm not like trying to lie to myself like, wow, yeah, you put out all this work, yet who's actually watching it? Who's actually valuing it and benefiting from it? And actually learning about all the other people that I'm featuring and trying to key people into, right? Because it's not about me. It's about what's what, and it's not about us, right? It's about what we have been aligned to and are portraying, right? So it works for us. It can work for y'all. And this is what, you know, this whole freedom under natural law movement is about as well. So check out that funnel conference. And Brandon, thank you.
Hell, there was an old joke. Hope, hey, what's a number, man? to get on, you know, what Rick said is, you know, when you're dealing with hopium, you're lying to yourself. That's not what we are doing, because in order to, you know, do this kind of work, you know, have the great work, is of course, you know, it starts off internal. You know, you doing that hell internal work to fix yourself. And of course, the first step to hell initiation is to stop lying to yourself. So, you know, when you look at hopium and how it is the attachment to unrealistic expectations, beliefs, or wishful thinking leading to a false sense of hope, like everything that we are talking about is in realism, dealing with truth. So these are real life expectations, are things that people can incorporate and do, that any human being on the planet can do. We're not asking them to go out and, you know, lift a ton. We're not asking them to take shit and turn it into gold. These are real life things that the individual can accomplish and do. Any individual. So these all fall into the realm of being real. So no, we are not involved with opium. Now, maybe there may be some people who start off and they think that they're going to, you know, blow up and get bigger and get more views. But if you were truly engaged and in hell the great work, then you know that the reality of it is most people aren't even going to want to hear what you are saying. Because I don't lie to myself. I don't think people are going to take what you're saying and learn from it. Hell, I don't. And that's also the reason too why I've always said, don't believe me, don't believe us. If we are able to reach a few people, you take what we have and you verify for yourself. You prove it to yourself. You do the work. You go and do the work. Therefore, you can come to that same discovery. So that's a process that I totally understand that most people aren't going to want to endeavor. But at the end of the day, that's still the solution. So if you were giving someone the true solution to a problem, that doesn't involve hopium. Because remember, hopium is the attachment to unrealistic expectations and beliefs. And that will also include false solutions. But we aren't giving people false solutions. So, yeah, that's the, you know, he'll clear all that up. And then he'll, you can also say that he'll hope him too is also attaching yourself to false expectations to numb yourself from reality and to the truth. Hell, again, that's not what we are doing. Because we are dealing with the one truth that nobody wants to hear and everybody wants to run from. That you have to start going within yourself and you have to understand what true objective morality is. So to get back on the topic of hopium, you know, what has been one of the biggest propagators of hopium? Not hope, but of hopium. One of the biggest, you know, generators of hopium. Of course, it would be religion. Religion has been possibly the number one propagator of hopium. And it's been getting people to stand down for ages. It's been getting people to blindly believe for ages. It's been getting people to be cowards for ages. It's been getting people to not take action for ages, for eons. And there's a specific entity within religion, the church, that has been the body of this propagation. So let's look at what the church is, you know, because when you look at the church and what it's done, it literally dumbs people down. It literally dumbs people down. It retards their thinking. It retards their ability to be human, as if, you know, it makes them lesser, you know, because the church is getting you to fall in line. It's getting you to blindly believe and to pretty much, you know, obey and do what they say. But that's not what being a human, it is all about. It's about being able to ask questions and explore and learn. That doesn't involve, you know, the church. So when you look at what the etymology of the word church is, you get a specific word, circe, C-I-R-C-E. But this word circe, when you look at and you explore it, this was actually a minor Greek goddess who was an enchantress. And what she was known for, she would transform her enemies. She would transform men into animals. And this is very symbolic of what the church has been doing, is transforming your consciousness into something lower, into an animalistic consciousness, eroding your ability to truly accurately think and installing false dogmatic doctrines within you to have you acting and behaving lesser than you actually are. Because, you know, animals don't have the ability to understand the why. They're just a stimulus response. So, you know, when you are involved, you know, with the church, there is no asking of questions why. You know, hell, again, it's just stimulus response. Hell, they want you to just obey. And even when you look at the word circe, that's actually, you know, that still involves green language. Sir, C, S-I-R, man, C-E, C. So you're talking about the vision of man. So if you're able to control the vision of man, then you can steer it toward something being lesser, you know, lacking clarity, lacking vision, stirring it down toward darkness. So the symbolism of turning men into animals is a psychological, mental, emotional, and spiritual form of decay, because that's really what we see. We've seen all the wars. We've seen the rape. We've seen the pedophilia. We've seen all the fighting, all the bickering, all the going back and forth between the church and all of these religions. So we have to ask ourselves, it's like, what is the true purpose of this? And you see the church and religion has done this to members, you know, like all over, you know, and it poisons the three expressions of consciousness. It poisons your thoughts, it poisons your emotions, and it poisons your behaviors. And it does this with ignorance, by poisoning your thoughts and poisoning your mind, by keeping you dumb, blinded in belief. It poisons your ability to feel with apathy. And then ultimately turning you into a coward, poisoning your behaviors and the actions in the hands. And this is when man is in the low level form of consciousness as an animal, the beast consciousness in ignorance, 666, repeating. And y'all have also brought up, you know, new age, you know, you know, BS. This is also another thing that is, you know, help propagating hopium. Because there's so many false teachers and false gurus and false saviors and false solutions in that. Because the New Age, you know, stuff is just there to play on your emotions. You know, getting people to stand down more and more and not take up truly right moral action and getting them all into their feelings, you know. So feelings are more important than knowledge and doing what's morally right. And at the end of the day, like the New Age BS is, it's just creating cowards to be slaughtered, you know. And that's why it's just another religion, you know. Just like a religion and the church has created more cowards to be slaughtered, you know, because that's what happens to cows, and cows is the main root word in cowards. You know, people just waiting around to be slaughtered, you know. It's literally like an animal farm, you know. And just like the animals on the farm, they're just waiting to be slaughtered. And sadly, that's mankind. You know, because I don't lie to myself. Like, I don't think that most people are going to understand this stuff. I really don't. Hell, we'll be lucky if we can reach one person. It's like, that's how calcified people's, you know, egos are. You know, that's how dumbed down and ignorant people are. Like, we'll be lucky to even reach one person, you know, saying this kind of stuff. Hell, I'm done.
Do you mind if I go next, guys?
Go ahead, Rick.
Is that cool? All right, cool. Because Brandon was, you guys kind of brought up what I was saying about the doing the great work, and with regards to doing the great work, what I meant, and I could have probably explained it a little better, is that as teachers of natural law, are we on hopium thinking that people even care enough to seek out this information? That was kind of where I was going with that. Like, I definitely understand what Brandon just said, and everyone else was that's commented on it. I just sometimes wonder if we're on hopium thinking, as I just said, that anyone even cares enough, is even seeking out this information. I know there are, and I speak to many people that are and that are doing the great work. So that does make me feel really good that it's happening. But it's just something I thought. I wouldn't be honest if I didn't bring up the one, you know, doing the great work thing. So that's just one. I just wanted to clarify that because I think that's important. And what I find it, like, you guys bring up some great points. I just kind of jotted down some notes because, Derek, you brought up, like, when it comes to doing the great work, you know, if you look at our subscribers and you look at the views that we're getting, they don't lie. Like, they just don't lie. Like, this content should be getting way, way more views and subscribers than it currently is. This is, like, the most important information that we're speaking about. This is the way we're going to get out of the slavery that we all speak about. And the numbers just aren't there. It gets really frustrating at times. And I think we've all experienced that. It's like, just, I don't see the people seeking it out. And for whatever reason that might be. And you're correct too, Derek, when you said that, you know, what needs to change is simple. It just, I agree with you. When you kind of break down natural law and objective morality and these things and rights and stuff to people, you start thinking, at least I do. I think to myself, this is so simple. Like, how are we messing this up? Like, and it just seems that humanity wants to learn these lessons the hard way. And if you remember, Brandon, on radio last day, I asked you about this and you touched on this and we kind of talked about it. Like, humanity is just stubborn. They just want to learn these lessons the hard way, and it gets frustrating. So it's interesting. This is a really good topic, and I'm glad that Jim brought this up and we're all discussing it. And I'm just kind of wrapping up. And Chris, you brought up objective morality. I talk a lot about this with people, and this is the one that most people seem to really have a problem with. And you know, that they have trouble with this. And I think it's because then you start talking about accountability, and it really shakes people up. And especially when you let them know that there is rules, natural law. Humanity's got to realize that unless morality starts changing, you know, morality has to change, and no one is coming to save us. As I said earlier, This is our mess. And the more we resist natural law, the more we're resisting objective morality, we can just continue to expect more of what we're getting and getting worse, which is, you know, slavery. There's no other way that this equation can work out. And to kind of wrap up, I'm going to wrap up with saying, once again, it starts with caring enough to go out and seek out this information, the correct information, internalizing it, running it through the trivia method, and then doing the hard shadow work on yourself. This is the part I think people fear the most, the foundation most people are lacking, and sends people running the other way when they got to confront themselves. And as you guys all said, stop lying and stop bullshitting yourself, because we love to lie to ourselves and we're masters at doing it. And that's something that you discover through the shadow work, that this has to stop. And it starts with the shadow work is the most important thing, the strongest foundation. You have to build this foundation strong. And it's so much based on truth and not lying to yourself. But, you know, you think of a foundation. I know, Chris, you do a lot of carpentry work and stuff. And anyone knows. I mean, it's common sense. You build on shaky ground. You build on loose soil. You don't have a strong foundation, the whole house is going to come down. And so I just really seem to be hammering so much on this internal work that people are resisting to do. They fear it. And that's just the facts as I see them. So I will wrap up with that. And I will wrap up with Jim that when you said Bashir, I've definitely listened to that too. And I got caught up for a while I love listening to people that are predicting and getting messages from people and channelers and stuff like that. I mean, I'm a sucker for that as much as anyone else. But once again, it's that hopium. It's this, you know, eventually they're not going to let anything happen to humanity. They're going to come and fix it eventually. They're not going to do it right now, but they're going to come around. Don't worry. They're coming. Just a little more suffering, a little more what's going on, and then we'll get there. So I just want to bring that up because I have listened to him before too, Jim. So hopefully I cleared myself up, and thank you guys for being here and this discussion. I really enjoyed it. I thought about it so much this month. I got a lot going on, and it was a great topic. And thank you all the people in the chat and people that are watching this after for being here. It's important. This is important information, and it's important work. I'll end with that. Chris, anyone?
Jerry.
I can take it away real quick. Perfect.
There we go.
Okay, so just want to, you know, say another quote real quick. The best way to predict the future is to create it. Kind of like I said last time, that our actions is what creates the future, basically, right? I mean, cause and effect. So I just want to talk on, you know, real hope, what that actually is, not that bullshit. So that's you know, real hope looks like self-reliance. Like, okay, you know, I'm not waiting for QAnon to come save the day or the superhero with the cap, you know, Batman, nothing like that. It's like, I'm going to fucking get this information and I'm going to put it out there because it's right. And of course, this one is, I would say, optional, but I do think that success is, you know, it involves teamwork. So it isn't really optional. I mean, we all have to do this. Well, not everyone, but most of us need to really activate and start teaching natural law. And yeah, I just think principles are of the utmost importance, because without understanding objective morality and actually teaching it, I think that people will not wake up. It's so that's why it's important to put the work out. That way people in the future can come across it and, you know, maybe activate. So yeah, I mean, action is uncomfortable. It kind of forces you out of your comfort zone. And it's one of those things where the gut check, basically. So yeah, just, you know, face the problem. You have to be honest with yourself, right? Kind of like you guys were saying, like the initiation. Stop lying to yourself. You know, stop thinking the aliens are going to come through, save the day. I mean, again, I'm going to touch on the self-reliance. It's, you know, take responsibility for yourself, for your freedom, for our freedom. And I think this is really important, is to take small consecutive action. So that will eventually snowball into the great work. And I really just want to like say, you know what, guys, check out Mark Passio's website, whatonearthishappening.com. Check out his work. I think it will really wake you up. So I'll pass it to you, Chris.
Thanks, Jerry. And thanks, Jerry, for the work you do behind the scenes for the End Evil podcast. People, Jerry every week helps get things loaded onto various platforms for the End Evil podcast. He does that from his heart because he cares about getting this message out to people. And that's the type of thing that people can do that aren't public speakers. You know, there's other jobs that, like you're saying, we do need a team. We do need each other. Like the tree of life, we're all connected. And the problem that we're describing is this, the dangerous type of hope that is taking blind leaps without understanding of one's capacity or the context of the situation. And that's really what this is all about. You know, people want to jump to quick conclusions like, well, how are we going to fix the roads? Or, you know, what if somebody invades us? And those questions don't preclude the principles we're talking about, that it's not a good idea to engage your mind in fantasy. And what's called, I looked up some of these terms, psychological term is maladaptive daydreaming. You know, apparently some people even have this, what they call maladaptive daydreaming, that will blur imagination and reality under stress, right? And in the case of like emotional trauma, like I was describing, maybe a war, maybe some crazy ass explosion or something, people find themselves going into this fantasy worlds and to escape pain, maybe even. And unlike the psychosis version, which also happens, people with maladaptive daydreaming, they know that their fantasies aren't real, but they can't help compulsively using them for relief. And that's very descriptive of what I see is people seeking comfort in a very uncomfortable situation. Many of us see the shit ball rolling down the hill and that, you know, we're heading towards violence and it's erupting around the world because of a lack of responsibility for moral action and decisions. And yet we're doing this psychotic behavior of ignoring, you know, it's like a child being beaten, children being abused around the world. And we're going to say, oh, everything's cool. We're all right. We're doing good. You know, that's some pretty shitty behavior to act like everything's fine when there's, you know, millions of humans being traded like cattle on this planet right now. So that's, you know, a disconnection from reality that breeds mental instability. And this all got to me thinking about eyesight and how eyesight works. I remember as a kid going to a science biology thing and they dissected a cow eye. And what's interesting about an eye is that when the image comes into the eye, it's actually flipped over by the brain, completely upside down. I actually heard about a guy who did an experiment where he made upside down glasses and walked around with upside down glasses. And after a week of wearing them, everything flipped. And then when he would take them off, everything would be upside down. Okay. And I've noticed myself Like if I'm tired, talking about being hungover, Jim, right? Like when I'm exhausted, like I see little floaties. When I turn my head, there's like, it takes a little longer for the image to, you know, it's like when your computer's too hot, you know, it's not running as good. So when our bodies run down, when our spirits run down, you know, our brain is filling in the gaps of our perception and it's trying to make the picture whole. So when we're trying to fill in this reality with our mind and there's too much being filled in, you know, because we're too lazy and we're too tired and the systems are shut down, we're not giving ourselves the proper energy, then it's all fantasy. As the brain and the mind will do that. It will fill in, and that's dangerous. So we have to be careful that we feed our mind with true human connection, true natural, observing actual nature, and not falling for the horrors of the modern age and being lost in all these magical dreams. Dreaming's not bad by itself. Dreaming is how we work towards better things. So I just wanted to end with a little reading from the book, The End of All Evil, because I think it's really where it gets confusing is faith. You know, faith is something we have in ourselves. And this is something that Jerry was talking about. And I can't remember someone else who was too, but Jeremy Locke says, faith is the courage to test ideas for truth. With faith, people discover whether ideas are true or false. With faith, people learn principles. People use faith to take steps in testing principles. We often fail, but we always learn. Imagine walking over a rocky surface. Perhaps you expect that the surface is solid and will not shift. If you expected firm ground but found movement, you may stumble. When the ideas you are testing are wrong, your test will fail. Your intelligence helps you to adjust your thinking to better understand the principles of walking. You learn to control your balance in spite of the difficult terrain. You use faith to test your new understanding, and soon you can traverse successfully and quickly. You are mastering principles. The application of faith to principle brings wisdom. So if you're taking action and you're consciously working on solutions, then you're clearly not lost in hopium. So don't give up on your dreams. You don't need to give up on your hope, but you do need to pursue truth like your life depends on it. Much love, folks. Thanks for another episode with the One Great Work Warriors, and we'll see you next month. And really appreciate this topic and everybody's wonderful contributions. Thanks, Brandon Spencer, for being our star editor. And we'll look forward to seeing how you cut in all the slides in this episode. And good night, gentlemen. Thanks for coming.